The following is a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page. For listener sensitivity, I want listeners to be aware that there is a racial slur used twice in this reading, and I'll be substituting something else for that racial slur.
Count your fingers. What else is there to do?
As a young girl, she loved reading the works of F. Scott Fitzgerald, but for a long time she believed no one could ever love her. She once wrote to her parents confiding, "I want to be happy so effing bad." Once she got in high school, she was bullied for being overweight and she was bullied for her acne. She was called a pig, a freak, and a creep. She even described herself as a plain overweight chick. She started skipping classes, becoming more of a misfit. Growing up in a small, racially segregated town of Texas, she took a courageous stand against segregation, leading to a new name for her, N-word lover. She didn't complain. She loved listening to the blues, to the music of Billie Holiday, Otis Redding, Lead Belly, Big Mama Thornton, and Bessie Smith. They became her friends as she listened to them sing the blues. She once said, "I was a misfit. I read, I painted, I thought. I didn't hate N-word." Various sources cited that what did get to her was when she was in college and a male fraternity would vote her the ugliest man on campus. It crushed her. She said, "They laughed me right out of class, out of town, out of the state." She was also driven by a constant need to please her parents, according to the BBC. In one letter to her parents, she wrote, "Weak as it is, I apologize for being just so plain bad in the family." By this time, according to one source, she was a heavy-drinking, outspoken rebel, but she continued to have a more sensitive side. Her interests included painting, reading, and writing poetry. She was going through the worst years of her young life, but she never gave up. She never gave in to the hate surrounding her. 5 years later, she was voted by the top culture and fashion magazine, Vogue, as the most staggering leading woman in rock, and would eventually be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her name was Janis Joplin. In a documentary, Janis, Little Girl Blue, Amy Berg said, "Joplin led a complicated life. She loved men, she loved women, she wanted to be embraced by all, she loved and wanted to be loved. She did what felt right for her. What I love about her is that she had such great tastes and she followed her instincts musically, socially, and in fashion, everything." Joplin said, "After you reach a certain level of talent, and quite a few have that talent, the deciding factor is ambition, or as I see it, how much you really need to be loved. Need to be proud of yourself. I guess that's what ambition is. It's not all a depraved quest for position and money. Maybe it's for love. Lots of love." She thought she had found that love in Brazil, Rio, where she met a former school teacher, David Nyhaus. He left America to backpack around the world. He didn't know Joplin, who was by that time already a famous rock star. They traveled together, and like Scott and Zelda in an F. Scott Fitzgerald book, they became lovers, While they were together, he helped her come off the drugs. But when she returned to the States, her lifestyle and her drugs caught up with her again, and they went their separate ways. Joplin became even more of a star and a rebel. A New York Times writer named Kim France said, "By all accounts, Joplin behaved as no white woman had ever behaved on stage. A sexed-up powerhouse who stalked the stage as if she owned it, reducing male rock critics to comically blubbering buffoons." But she never forgot how she learned the blues. After Joplin hit it big with Big Mama Thornton's Ball and Chain, Joplin would acknowledge her and tell everyone how much of an influence Thornton was to her. And as the Peace Page recently shared about Bessie Smith, it was Joplin who helped pay for her tombstone when she found out that Smith was buried in an unmarked grave. 4 years later, on October 4th, 1970, Joplin was found dead in room 105 of the Landmark Hotel in Los Angeles after an accidental heroin overdose.
Well, I don't think I'm any very special kind of person down here. I know better, but I don't think you're gonna find anybody, not anybody, who can say that they tried like I tried. The worst you can say all about me is that I've never satisfied.
Just 2 days before, she had made some changes to her will, setting aside $2,500 to pay for the posthumous all-night party, wrote Janice, so my friends can get blasted after I'm gone. Most of her estate she willed to her parents. In her brief career as a rock and blues singer, she recorded 4 albums containing a number of rock classics that included Peace of My Heart and To Love Somebody. The following morning after her death, a telegram for her was found at the Landmark's front desk. She never got to read the telegram, of course. It was from David Niehaus, the love that she lost in Rio, and he was telling her that he would meet her in Kathmandu. He signed it, "Love you, Mama, more than you know." This was a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studio in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with the permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace Page on Facebook. Just look for John, J-O-N, S. Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L. I'm Kim Leon, your narrator, and I thank my co-producer, David Leon. The story was posted to John's Facebook page on October 4th, 2019. Thank you for listening.
Please, honey, don't you leave me. I feel so useless down here. I can't find me anybody to love me, and I've looked around. I've looked everywhere, everywhere, and I can't find me anyone to love. So
money, don't you go and leave.